Ass Chuck Show, featuring your host, Charles Levi, a.k.a. Redfish Chuck, and the Redfish Chuck Show's co-host, Alan Ryland, and also featuring the Redfish Chuck Show's other co-host, Peppy Vidal.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers. Made 100% in the USA. Always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
Give me the Flats of Dawn, with plenty of tailing fish.
And the perfect fly rod.
Yeah!
And get ready for some magic.
Oh, that's awesome eat!
But I got one!
Oh, damn, I got him, you got it, I got him!
Join Bonefish and Tarpon Trust.
Nice fish.
And help make sure that the magic never ends. Visit tarbone.org to find out how you can help.
Yep. A storm is a-cometh. Welcome to the Monday Night Show. I am your host, Redfish Chuck. Late not as usual, because he's usually not late, but Peppy there is calling in from the duck camp. Thanks for the invite. Thought we were boys. Alan Ryland should be calling in any minute now. He's late. He's fired. But welcome to the Monday Night Kickoff Show, or the Redfish Chuck Show. wow. So, let's see. Mr. Chia Pet. Yeah, that's good. Well, you know, those that can't grow a beard, as Phil Robertson would say, there's only two kinds of people in this world that don't grow a beard. Women and kids. So I'm neither one of them. Anyhow, you guys can tell that the wind's been blowing. We are definitely getting into the winter months. I think officially we're going to get blasted with our first true cold front this week, where it's going to get down into the 30s, which doesn't sound like a whole lot of fun. Went around and put up some Christmas lights today. Make the children happy, and pretty much just hung around the house. Last couple of days have been interesting. Haven't got out and do any fishing. Been kind of busy with the shop and all. But other than that, we'll go to Peppy live from the duck camp. Are you there, Peppy?
Oh, man, we're live.
We're live.
Yes, we are. Do you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
All right. So yeah, we're out here. Alan's right next to me. I mean, he's calling in. He's already on there.
I see him.
Yeah, you see him.
Yeah, I see him.
Yeah, we're gonna do a little duck hunting tomorrow. See what happens.
Nice.
But yeah. This wind's not, wind's not fishing. It's not fishing conditions. That's for sure.
Right.
I'm gonna hang up and call duck hunting radio.
you're going to hang up and call Duck Hunting Radio.
Oh, I'm live. I didn't know I was live. Whoops.
Now he's muted. I just muted him again. So anyway, Peppy, man, I know you went out. You didn't fish the Allen Ryland Redfish Tournament out there at the Cars Park because you hunted the opening day of duck, right?
That's right. That's right. I went hunting opening day. Actually went hunting Saturday and Sunday, and actually it was one of those things. I show up later on for Island's Tournament, and people were telling me, how did you do? And I go, we were done by 7:30 in the morning. So I was like, oh, so you could have came out here and fished still, right? You could have came out here and did some fishing. I go, yeah. You could have. Yeah, it was one of those things. You look forward to it and stuff and everything like that, and it's just over that quick. You know what I mean? It was one of those mornings you're done by stuff. You know, shooting started at 6:20. We were done, a four-man limit, 24 ducks down by 7:30 in the morning.
That's incredible.
Yep.
That's awesome, man.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So what all did you shoot?
And we ended up shooting ring necks. Teal and a couple models we ended up shooting. Nothing out of this world. You know, we didn't get any what we consider trophy birds like widgeons and pintails and stuff. But we did good. You know, I can't complain. And we're actually going to go to the same place that I went on Saturday. We're going there tomorrow morning.
Very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
I noticed Alan is all loaded up with his kayak. Which one do you have, Pep?
I ended up bringing the Native Slayer 14 just because what we're hunting is full of hydrilla. I mean, that I doubt that propeller will even move in that hydrilla that we're going through. So I came in a regular kayak.
Did you loan Alan a tether for that shotgun?
Yeah, right?
I've got a floating gun case.
A floating gun case?
Oh, yeah. Heck, yeah. Right. I'm good.
Just making float. Sure, buddy. Just watching out for you.
And, I appreciate that.
And we got like about 5 boxes of shells just for Alan so he could get the rust off, too, because that's probably, before he hits a duck, that's how many shells he's going to have to shoot.
That's awesome.
If it's flying, it's dying.
There you go. Sandhill cranes, buzzards.
Right.
We are actually right now, just said you said Sandhill Crane, we are actually cooking barbecue right now out here, and Tony Rush and one of our friends here went up to Canada, and he was hunting in Canada for 4 weeks, and he brought Sandhill Crane down, and we are eating Sandhill Crane poppers.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Are they delicious?
Bacon wrapped with peppers. Don't know yet.
Bacon wrapped with peppers. Let me ask you, because I know this is a fishing show, but now we obviously no one's fishing in this weather. So
there's a canal here.
All right, well, go fishing. So why is it that you guys always wrap everything in bacon and peppers? Is it just that it tastes that crappy?
Yeah, duck is gamey, man. Duck is gamey, man. It really is. I'll be honest, man. I can't eat. Duck is not one of my favorite things in the world to eat, to tell you the truth.
All right.
It's gamey, and I actually marinate my stuff for 24 hours, you know?
Yeah.
I got some marinating right now on my truck tire.
That sounds delicious. All right, listen, I'm getting really kind of depressed over here because I want to kill something soon, and I didn't get invited out to the duck camp. So I feel, you know, like kind of like... Yeah, kind of feel a little left out right now. Alan,
I was going to say, hang on, I'll shoot my shotgun for you. Hold on a second. Just listen.
No,
I'm kidding.
I'll
get arrested.
Yeah. I even grew a beard so I can go duck hunting. I mean, never done
I got a little one going. I got a little one going.
Yeah. Yeah. Beard with training skills. Yeah. tell us about your tournament, man. How'd that go?
It went good. You know what? We snuck that thing in a, I think you said it earlier on the phone today, a miracle weather window. I mean, it was blowing pretty much all week. We had already rescheduled it once back from the 9th. Blowing all week, Friday night, started laying down. Saturday morning, I got up. Actually, Friday night, you know, while we were out there, you know, camping, whatever, prepping, it just slicked off. Sheet of glass. Saturday morning, same thing. Just, I mean, it was beautiful all day long. So couldn't have asked for better weather. The gentleman that won the tournament, Hendricks was the last name. Cannot remember his first name for the life of me right now, but he came up to me. I was getting over at the pavilion, getting ready to set up, put the banners up, lay out all the prizes, unload my truck. He came up at 11:15, done, said, can I check my fish in? I didn't think he caught anything. And he had a 42-inch redfish, showed me the picture, you know, good to go, got it all set. So that fish held for the day. We had, I think, between first place and fifth place was probably separated by about maybe 8-10 inches. I think we had some fish in the 30s, couple mid-30s inch fish. We had a guy that won the fly division. I believe he got one right about 20-something inches, not real big. But it was weird. It was everybody either caught a lot, you know, good fish. Like the guy that won it, he caught like 8 redfish, 30-inch trout, couple snook. Everybody coming in either did real good or did nothing, caught nothing. You know, Dee Kaminsky, Lady Angler, took first place in that. She had a 26.5-inch redfish, very nice red. But it went good. I mean, everybody kind of stayed out in the water till the end. Most everybody was back in line by 2:30 to weigh in, and we had Sunny's out there catering food. Food was excellent. RCI Optics showed up. They were there for the captain's meeting and the tournament, out there talking to folks and talking about their amazing sunglasses. Captain Thanks. Steve Bowman with the Bones. Yeah.
Did you say a 30-inch trout?
Yes. Well, nice. He, I didn't see the picture, but he told me he got a 30-inch trout. So, you know, he did pretty good. But
yeah.
It went well. I mean, I'm pleased. You know, couldn't have asked for better weather. Sunday took another dive on us. Got up Sunday morning, stayed out there at Cars Park again Saturday night just to get everything picked up and all that. And I'll have all the results posted and wrapped up and all the pictures, photo albums built and all that, hopefully the next couple of days, either right before the holidays. So it went great. Everybody, I think, had a good time. Yep.
Good deal.
We missed you.
Shut up.
Seriously.
Anyhow, that's cool, man. That's cool. Well, I'm glad you guys are getting out there on the low sodium water. You're gonna go kill some ducks.
Yep. Looking forward to it. It's been a while. I didn't duck hunt at all last year. Didn't hunt at all last year. Never bought a license. And Pepe and Lenny and you know, they got me talked into it. Got all my stuff bought and dusted off the Benelli and got the kayak re-rigged for some pond fronds, and we'll see what happens. Hopefully we have some pictures.
I don't know who it was. Somebody had asked if Ram makes a mount for a shotgun, and they do indeed make a mount for a shotgun. They make it for you can run it on a track system. It's pretty sick, actually.
Hmm. Yeah, I'm sure they have it probably for ATVs and stuff and such and stuff like that. So. I'm sure it's available.
Oh, Mike from New Smyrna Beach says that there's he's got some ducks at his neighborhood that need to be killed.
Sweet.
Might need a silencer on the shotgun. Yeah. I don't know. Go up there with a pellet gun, wrist rocket.
We can travel.
Anyhow, there you go. So, folks, we're going to hit a real quick break here, and then once we get back, we're going to talk a little bit more about I don't even know. It's windy. It's going to be cold this week. Now, we'll talk a little bit about cold tactics, cold weather tactics, and how to keep yourself safe during cold weather outings. Because even though you live in Florida, you still should bundle up when it gets cold if you go out on the water. It doesn't take much to get hypothermia. And believe me when I tell you, you know, that can happen down here. I've been pretty close twice. So, but anyhow, you're listening to Kayak Fishing Radio. I am Redfish Chuck, the host of the Redfish Chuck Show. Stand by. That didn't work out the way I wanted it to. All right, then. Folks, if you haven't heard, KBB Outfitters is open. We're attached to Kayaks by Bow up there in Titusville, located at 410 South Hopkins Avenue in the historic downtown Titusville district. Swing on by, check it out. It's a pretty cool little shop we've put together. We carry all price ranges of rods and reels. We've got all of your terminal tackle and your soft plastic needs covered, hard baits. We're pretty much a no-nonsense shop, so we're introducing fly as we speak. So come on by and check it out. Speaking of coming on by and checking it out, Black Friday, as everybody knows, is this Friday coming. And we're going to go ahead and throw in some amazing deals there at KBB Outfitters. We're going to have some rods that will be discounted $40. We'll have a couple of reels that will be discounted $30. So come on by and check it out, man. While the wife's out doing her shopping, swing by and take care of yourself. Or if you would like to, jump next door to Kayaks by Bow, put a new kayak on layaway, pick up a new kayak, or sign our wish list so that those who love you who want to buy you crap can come and do so. And know exactly what to get you this way here. You don't have to return anything. But other than that, check out Orca Coolers.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at OrcaCoolers.com.
There you go, Orca Coolers, of course, one of my sponsors, one of Peppy's sponsors. We appreciate all the support that fine folks over at Orca Coolers shows us. Made in the USA, lifetime warranty. Can't beat it. Alan dropped off the line. I don't know if he got eaten by a gator, maybe pooped on by a coot, but he's gone. So we got Peppy back.
We don't have too good reception out here, man. So it's one of those things we could be dropping in and out.
Yeah, no worries, man. No worries at all. So cold weather, man. Listen, I'm not scared of cold weather. I'll get out there and fish during cold weather. I typically let the sun come up a little bit before I hit the water. But I bundle up. I mean, one of my favorite photos I think that's ever been taken of me is me completely bundled up. I have on waders and a long sleeve shirt. Actually, a short sleeve shirt, a long sleeve shirt, then a sweatshirt, and a beanie cap, a baseball hat on top of the beanie cap. I mean, I was bundled. You can always take it off. You know, it's easy to take off clothes. It's hard to bring enough to keep putting back on, especially if you don't have good dry storage in your kayak. So no need to be worried about going out and looking like a abominable snowman or the little kid from the Christmas Story. Your arms all, you know, strung out. Come on out and fish, man. Even when it gets cold outside, it gets good. You guys all know that. So, Peppy, what's your game plan, man, whenever it gets cold? I mean, what do you typically put on? You throw on your duck waders and all that stuff?
I'll tell you, yeah, you've seen me. You've seen the way I am in the cold weather. In the cold weather, I'll tell everybody out there listening, in the cold weather, do yourselves a favor and get yourself a pair of waders. It doesn't matter. You know, if you can, get yourself breathables. Get yourself breathable waders, all right? It doesn't matter. They don't have to be expensive brands. Just get yourself something breathable that you can layer yourself. And you layer yourself as much clothes as you want to put on, and you put those breathable waders on. There is nothing like, you know, having those breathable waders on, and there's times that you're in your kayak and you have to jump in that water. There's times you just got to jump in that water. You got to get in. For whatever reason, you got to jump in. You know, you're fighting a fish. Sometimes you got to release a fish, and you got to do everything the right way, and you got to jump in the water. Have those waders. You could always take them off. You know, when it gets hotter later on in the day, you could take them off or something like that. But do yourself a favor and get yourself waders. I mean, I don't go out there in the wintertime when it's cold without those waders on. And you see me out there, I'm all camoed up pretty much because all my waders are camo, my jackets are camo, everything's pretty much camo that I have. But it's like you said, you know, you could always take layers off and you take clothing off and stuff as you go on, as the day goes on. And you'll even see me sometimes out there looking like a redneck sometimes. You'll see me out there And I'll have just waders on without a shirt on sometimes. I've actually been out there that way. So it's like, you know, you can always take clothes off. So
yeah, man.
That's pretty much my game plan in the wintertime, you know, is got to be comfortable. Doesn't matter how much clothes you got on, just be comfortable. You know, you don't want to be freezing your butt off out there.
So, yeah. It's hard to warm up, man, once you get wet and cold. I mean, if you should take a dive in the water or, you know, get knocked out of your boat by a manatee or whatever the case may be, you need to, you need to make sure that you're careful out there. I know of at least four or five people over the last 10 years here in Florida. I don't know them personally, but I know of the cases where people have actually died from hypothermia here in Florida. So it does happen, you know, it doesn't take much. Once that temperature drops down and the water temperature drops, the air temperature drops. I mean, it happens pretty quick, man. But, well, let's see. What else is going down?
Alan should be back on.
Alan's back in. Let's see. I've been ignoring him. No, there's Alan. Alan.
I'm back.
What's your deal? What do you wear when you get cold out there?
I was going to say, until last year I had a good pair of chest waders, but I'm sitting here listening to what Pepe's saying. And the other thing, too, is the only drawback with chest waders, especially if you're going to get out and wade, and I know some areas I used to fish down in the Valkyria Grant area, the only thing you got to be careful of wearing those waders, man, you step in a big hole and those things fill up. And that's just as dangerous as hypothermia. There was I remember years ago, there was a story about a guy and his son down there fishing that pothole area, they call it a Valkyria. And they were out there wading off that shoreline in that, Goat Creek area. Yep. And
yeah.
I guess I don't know if it was the kid or the father, stepped in one of those big holes down there and boom, gone. And I guess
yep.
the dad or whatever went to try to get him and both of them.
Yep.
So there's warning signs all up and down US-1 down there now because it's dangerous. You know, they say to carry a pocket knife, whatever, so you can cut the suspenders in case they fill up on you. But, you know, you got to be careful of that too. So.
Yeah, my dad actually ran that case.
Did he?
Yeah. Yeah, my dad ran that case. Yeah, it was a father and a son.
Yeah, sad, both of them. Yeah, I remember that. But, so, you know, I mean, winter can be good. I mean, I fish it a lot. I mean, good for if you can catch it in between fronts, and fish seem to get happy. The water definitely clears up a lot, but just got to change the way you do it. It's the only thing. You got to think a lot more about safety and stuff like that and all that kind of stuff, but it can be good. So,
yeah, there you go. And what we'll do, try and hang on the line for me, Alan, if you can. What we're going to do is we're going to run another break real quick, and when we get back, we're going to actually talk tactics on how to find fish, where to go to look for fish, you know, what times of day to go when the water's cold, and things to throw at them, and how to approach them, the whole thing. So you're listening to the Redfish Chuck Show here on Kayak Fishing Radio. We'll be right back.
Looking for a new cooler with a lifetime warranty and made 100% in the United States? Look no further than Orca Coolers. These roto-molded, rugged coolers feature premium quality, seamless construction, meaning they're built to take whatever you and Mother Nature throws at them. Orca Coolers allow ice to keep for days, and they have non-slip feet so your cooler stays where you want it. With secure external latch system, the lid always stays closed. Orca Coolers, made 100% in the USA, always has been, always will be. Check them out at orcacoolers.com.
Looking for a group of kayak anglers to share your kayak fishing adventures with? Check out yachtangler.com, your ultimate fishing resource.
Boondoggle? What the heck is a boondoggle? Is it a tournament? No, it's not a freaking tournament. A boondoggle's just an event where a bunch of kayak anglers come together for a weekend of fun and kayak fishing. We all get together and fish, check out industry-related products, have a big dinner, and swap a fishing story or two. What's that? Sounds like a useless waste of time? Yeah, it is. So what? So get your butt up off the couch and get to a boondoggle. Bring yourself. Bring your family. Heck, bring your hairy-ass brother-in-law. I don't care. Just get to a boondoggle. Check out yakangler.com/boondoggle for more information.
There you go. And for those of you that don't know what a boondoggle is, you live underneath a rock, you should probably get out more. Just kidding. The check out yakangler.com. The next boondoggle is up in Georgia, just north of the Florida-Georgia line. And should be a good time for those who are attending. I unfortunately will not be able to make that particular one, for I am fishing the Adventure Fishing World Championships down in the Everglades. So, you know, I could only close the shop for one weekend. You know, I can't do it twice in a row. So that is what I'll be doing. So, but if you get a chance to go up there to the boondoggle, this is a different style boondoggle than the boondoggles past. You're going to have to find yourself a place to camp. They haven't reserved an entire campground or anything like that. It's kind of come as you are. Don't look for there to be a vendor village or raffles or any of that kind of stuff. It's just going to be come and hang out. So back to the old school way of doing boondoggles, which is cool. I think we need to do that. Doing two of the big ones a year can be kind of challenging. So, but anyhow, getting back to the topic at hand, fishing in cold weather, since, again, we're going to get down into the 30s on, I think it's going to be Wednesday night, get down into the 30s, and then pretty much stay in the 50s and 60s, it looks like, throughout the rest of the week as a low, so that'll get that water cooled down nice. For me, one of my favorite things to do is I still get up relatively early. I try and get on the water as the sun is starting to come up. There's a reason for that. I like to fish the west side of either the Indian River, the Banana River, or the Mosquito Lagoon first thing in the morning. As that sun starts to come up, that's the first side that gets hit by the sunlight, and it heats up a little bit quicker than the east side does. And then as the afternoon progresses, I slide on over to the east side and do my fishing over there. I tend to do a lot more sight fishing this time of year. Water tends to be a little bit cleaner. I definitely size down my baits. I go down to, you know, SSTs or shad tails, small jerk baits. You know, you can throw a 5-inch jerk bait; it'll still work just fine. You know, I just like to present something a little bit smaller. A lot of times these fish are tailing because they've gone through their transition now. They should be starting to eat a lot more crustaceans and things like that here over the next couple of weeks. So, you know, small prey items that mimic that, you know, definitely going to bring out the buggy whip quite a bit this winter to try and get on some nice reds with the fly rod. So, you know, again, the nice thing about the wintertime is you don't have to feel rushed to get off the water. You can stay out there till 2 or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, which typically is when it really gets good, especially here on the Space Coast. So that's pretty much my game plan for the wintertime. I mean, I don't have any secrets really of what I do. I mean, I do the same thing I do in the spring and the winter. I just slow down. My presentation's slower. I tend to try and sight fish a little bit more and drop baits on fish's heads. And you know, it's a lot of fun. Find more tailing fish this time of year and maybe some black drum, maybe some big trout. You know, sometimes in the afternoon around 1 o'clock or so, those big trout will still hit good top water bite. So, yeah, that's pretty much it. Alan, what do?
Pretty much the same thing, man. I, you know, slow it way down. I go towards more of the jig heads over the, you know, weighted or unweighted hooks, you know, slow everything down a little bit, get it a little bit deeper in the water column, bump it on the bottom. You know, the grass seems to, you know, at least the floating grass seems to thin out during the wintertime. The other grass seems to kind of die back a little bit, get more sporadic, more pothole-y, so you can, you know, you can work jig heads a little bit better without, you know, getting hung up and stuff. And I do, yes, go to a little bit of scent sometimes on my soft plastics. I stick with the same soft plastics, which is, you know, pretty much mostly 100% Slayer ink lures. But, you know, every now and then if it's tough, if they're being really picky, I'll slap a little bit of Pro Cure on there or something like that and, you know, go to different colors. But just kind of slow it down a little bit and keep everything on the bottom. But, you know, the same stuff that, like you said, works in the spring and summer will work in the wintertime. But, you know, that water starts chilling down. Just slow the presentation down a little bit and it still works.
And I'm really excited about throwing the – Justin just said in the chat room. I'm going to be really excited about throwing that Savage Gear 3D shrimp, the small one, in the to tail and fish. I can't wait to watch him crush that thing. But you know, of course, our Slayer baits are going to be probably the go-to baits for me. But to switch it up a little bit and give him a little something different to look at, you can't beat that presentation of the of an actual shrimp. I like the. I agree with what Justin just said in the chat room. The question was, what scents for Pro Cure do you guys use? And we specifically asked Justin. And shrimp and blue crab are two of the best scents. But I mean, don't forget about ladyfish. I mean, they are still, it is still cracked to redfish, even if it is the wintertime. They'll crush that ladyfish scent too in the wintertime. So, but Justin also brought up a good point there in the chat room that he likes to find them close to the shoreline. And you will. You'll find your redfish a lot of times this time of year, literally belly crawling and just barely creeping along, just with their half their back out of the water. I've actually seen in the south end Mosquito Lagoon, I've actually seen redfish crawling around on their bellies with their eyeballs almost completely out of the water, eating fiddler crabs and whatever else is down there. It's going to be really good, man. I mean, this time of year is just absolutely one of my favorite times of year to fish. You know, the water cleans up real good. You can see real well. Sight fishing is really easy to do. So, you know, and there's nothing like watching a redfish that's literally belly crawling, crush a bait and then take off like a bat out of hell and throw a mud rooster tail in the air. So that's always fun. What else you got, Alan?
Same thing. You know, like Justin said, and I don't know how much the scent really. I mean, I wouldn't say it doesn't matter. I mean, like you said, the crab, the shrimp. You know, that's more prolific of what you're going to find in the wintertime over the white bait and mullet and stuff like that. But you know, I've even on occasion I'll be a couple tubes of Pro Cure. I'll have a little bit of inshore scent left, a little bit of shrimp scent left in one. I'll just squeeze them both into one bottle and let them blend up. I mean, I think it still works. So. You know, I don't know if they're really all that picky about it, but, you know, and I've even been known to, you know, even pick up maybe a dozen hand picks or something if they're really, really, really going to be picky or spooky or whatever. You run across that school of black drum that's not like Louisiana black drum where, you know, they want the real thing. So, you know, but same type of stuff. I've definitely had some banner days on some of the coldest days. I've scraped ice off my windshield many times and gotten out there. And, you know, once that sun starts warming up that shallow water, they move up there and start feeding. So it can still be good. Like you said, you're not off the water by 9, 10 o'clock because it's over 100 degrees and everything's shut down. So, you know, like you said, this is a good time if you can catch it in between front with the wind right.
Tell you another cool trick to do, and a lot of guys don't think about it, or a lot of guys overlook them at tackle shops, and that's soft plastic crabs. You know, soft plastic crabs work really, really good this time of year. If you go out and you fish the, let's just say in the Mosquito Lagoon, and you fish the edges of the flat, the edges of the drops where the big boys tend to run back and forth, you know, you're 30 to 45, 50-inch redfish, tend to cruise around, your big black drum, that kind of thing. Get yourself a couple packs of those artificial crabs, whether it's Z-Man or Exude or what's the other one, Rage. There's a couple different ones that make it, but I like the Exude and the Z-Man crabs really, really well. The legs and stuff have a lot of life to them, have a lot of movement to them, and that is the easiest bait to fish in the wintertime. Period. That is the easiest bait to fish in the wintertime because all you have to do is slather on some, whether it's Pro-Cure or Bio-Edge or whatever or Lunker sauce, whatever your scent product is of choice, slather on some crab scent onto that little artificial crab, pitch that thing out either on a jig head or a weedless hook. I like to run them on a weedless hook, like a 2-0 or maybe even a 3-0. Weedless hook, and literally just drag it along the bottom. No twitching, no bouncing. You never seen a crab bounce off the bottom before. I never seen one twitch all crazy and get all, you know, just slow drag that thing across the bottom. If you see a fish pushing to it, just drop it. Let it drop right in the grass, because that's what a crab would do. And man, I'm telling you, I've witnessed some fish get a soft plastic crab all the way back into their crushers, to where the hook is embedded in the roof of their mouth, way back by the crushers, because they know they have to kill that thing as soon as they suck it up. So that's a great lure to use, a great style of bait to throw. You know, and it's good. It's a good bait to throw in shallow water. It's a good bait to throw in deep water by adding a jig head. And for those fish that are up there and they're swimming right along their bellies, up on the bank looking for crabs, pitch it. Don't be scared to pitch that thing up onto the actual bank and slide it off the bank and drag it in front of their face, because they'll pounce on it, because that's what they're up there eating. They're not up there chasing around mullet and mud minnows and things like that. They're up there eating small crustaceans. So that's a great bait to throw. Super easy to rig. There's nothing complicated about that at all. I mean, very, very easy to rig. But I tend to go to light tackle in the winter. And when I say light tackle, I'm just saying lighter than what I would normally throw. Normally I'm fishing just 10-pound braid, but I'm bumping it up to 15 to 20-pound leader. In the wintertime, I tend to go lighter, up to, you know, down about 12-pound. If it's just a bunch of slot fish I'm after, I'll even go down as low as 10-pound leader material, just because I'm not worried about them breaking me off. But at least in the wintertime, you can fight them. You can play with them a little bit longer. You know, in the summertime and spring, we try to whoop them, get them to us as quick as we can so we don't hurt them. But in the wintertime, with the water being cooler, there's a lot more oxygen in the water. So, you know, they can be a little feisty sometimes. So it's fun. You know, you hook a 30-inch redfish on 10-pound braid and a 12-pound leader or a 10-pound leader, and it makes you really fish at finesse. I mean, you got to back that drag off and be careful not to bust them off, because, you know, big redfish will bust you off easy on that kind of a rig. Ask Wade Hollowell, he knows. But so anyhow, Alan, have you ever used the soft plastic crabs?
The only ones I've used are the gulp peeler crabs. You know, I've thrown those a couple times and don't have really good luck. But I was going to tell you, there was a time Justin and I fished, actually met up at a spot, and he was throwing that rage crab, and he was killing them on that thing. You know, I was still throwing my regular, you know, Slayer SSB, doing good, you know, still catching fish, this and that. But he had that big old rage crab on there, and I remember there was I think it was right at upper slot, over slot, whatever, and it must have been 5 foot off his kayak, and he saw it laying there in the grass, and he dropped that rage crab in front of it, and like you said, the minute that thing hit the bottom, man, that thing just pow, and I mean, it was off to the races. So, you know, typical example right there of, you know, and it was that morning, started out super cold, you know, or pretty cold, and, didn't see a whole lot, and as soon as it started warming up, and it was one of those just bluebird, dead calm, cold winter days, and we found some fish in this little cove, little pocket that were just kind of milling around in there, and it was just trout, redfish, just one after another, and he was throwing that rage crab and doing good, and he was busting them on that thing. We had a pretty good day, so they work. I just, you know, yeah, don't throw them a whole lot.
Yeah, well, and also too, if it's a little windy, sometimes the crabs are paying the butt to throw, because if you're trying to throw it into the wind with those crabs, it's like a frisbee.
Throwing a paper plate. Yep.
Yeah, exactly. It's like throwing that's a good analogy. It's just like throwing a paper plate. But yeah, it's fun, man. It's a good time. It's a good time to get out there. If you haven't had a lot of success catching a bunch of redfish in a day, multiple redfish in a day, say a dozen or more, the winter time is definitely your time of year to go do that. They don't tend to stack up, but I'll tell you what I have found, especially in the Mosquito Lagoon, is you will find giant wads of little rat reds from time to time.
Oh, yeah.
And man, you can't get away from them things. And not that there's anything wrong with catching rat reds, but, man, literally every single cast you'll catch a rat. You could stay there for hours and catch it, like, one after another, and it's usually off the edge of a flat, right along an island or along a shoreline where there's a deep trough every now and, or there's a creek mouth running somewhere. A lot of times you'll find them stacked up like that. But you know, it's a fun time of year, man. And also too, especially in our region, you always have the opportunity to catch a nice doormat flounder, as Tammy Wilson proved last time she was out with you.
Oh yeah, nice flounder.
How big was that thing?
24 inches, and she was throwing at tailing redfish when that thing hit, and she got up to the boat. I hadn't seen it, and she was shocked, you know. And I got over to her, and I was like, wow. And she caught that on a Slayer SST, just you know, kind of bumping on the bottom, throwing at some tailing reds, and that thing hit. So good
Matt,
surprise.
Matt Giles in the chat room says, use 6 pound on a Barbie rod like a real man.
Okay.
And for those that are listening to the show, not watching the chat room, I responded by saying you can't use the words Barbie rod and man in the same sentence. just messing with you, bro. Actually, I've got a little 1,000 Cerros, 1,000 Shimano Cerros that I've got spooled up with 4 pound monofilament that when the fish are thick in the winter, I know I'm going to find some tailing fish. I'll throw a straight 4 pound, no leader, with a weedless hook or a jig head, and a shad tail, whatever, and put the whooping on them, man. It's fun. You know, I challenge anybody to go out and get what essentially is a crappie rod and go out there and try and land a upper slot redfish on it. It's a lot of fun. Like hooking a bonefish, I would imagine. I've never done it. Alan, you've caught bonefish, so you could attest to probably what they pull like. So,
great.
Dude, are you guys dying down there? What's going on?
It's blowing. It's off and on raining. Pepe's got the Jameson flowing. Exactly. Yeah. But no, it's, you know, this is different. I've duck hunted, used to do it for years, but this is definitely different, but it's cool. But, yeah, it's, it's good duck weather. Like Pepe said, terrible fishing weather, but, we're making the best of it. Just about
that's
got
cool.
Dinner done.
No, that's awesome, man. Yeah, one of my neighbors, he hunts for Mossy Oak, and he went out scouting, he found a bunch of ducks, and then he calls me two days ago, and he's like, oh, by the way, I shot a doe this morning, and probably going to go out and kill some pigs later tonight. And I'm like, yeah, you know, it is that time of year. We're, you know, killing the furry woodland animals and feathered creatures is a good alternative to sitting on the couch and watching the wind blow.
Yeah, exactly. But, he told you what we're doing, right? I mean, we're basically parked in a grass field down by this impoundment area. It's a public type quota hunt, you know, draw type thing. You got to put in for permits and stuff like that. If you don't get the permits, you can do a walk on thing. And so we're sitting in line with about probably 8 or 10 other trucks in line waiting for, I guess, 4:30 in the morning. And we basically sleep in our trucks. We've got the fire pit going and the brats cooking and stuff, and basically we sleep out here and wait for the morning to get in.
Very cool. What is that?
Pepe's rubbing it in about the sandhill crane. Our dinner's done, so
yeah,
he's
all
rubbing
right,
it in.
That's cool. I'll call FWC when we hang up the phone tonight and tell them that you guys are
it came from Suntree.
taken out by a golf cart.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, nobody shot it.
Yeah, no.
Oh well.
Cool.
But,
very good.
Yeah.
All
but,
right. Yeah. Go eat, man. Go enjoy your.
Yeah,
I'm
gonna let you go. Yeah, I gotta check in at the house, make sure the wife and daughter are good before it gets too late, and go eat and make my bed in the truck here.
Don't lie. Don't lie.
Yeah,
okay. Pepe's drinking Jameson. You
yeah,
guys are snuggled up in the back of his truck.
He's got that gleam in his eye.
Big spoon, little spoon.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right, man.
Oh,
you guys
man.
Have fun.
All
be
right.
safe out there.
Yep. All right.
See you, bro.
Yep. We'll talk to you. All right.
There we go. Big spoon, little spoon. Peppy's drinking Jameson. Excellent. All right, folks. It's 8:45. I really have nothing else to talk about tonight. There you go. That's pretty much it. Appreciate everybody tuning in, checking in, listening in. I assure you that the shows forthcoming will be a little bit more productive. We're actually going to try and change up the format a little bit. Just so you guys know, we're going to do some more commercial breaks in between. We're going to really segment it up, and we'll be able to have topics that we'll talk about posted to Facebook a couple nights prior to the show, so you guys can make up your decisions whether or not you want to listen to the show or not, tune in or call in. And I always encourage folks to call in, of course. The number is 714-816-4727. Jot that down on a piece of paper by your computer, or put it in your notes on your phone so that this way here you've got that. Again, that's 714-816-4727. Oh, man. So this week, again, looks like Mother Nature's going to whoop us. Not going to let us get out there, but if you should be able to get out and find yourself somewhere to hide from the wind, I would do nothing more than just soak some cut bait and see what happens. With all this wind, that river's going to be a little stirred up, so cut bait's king. I'm not scared to throw it if I need to, or you can go to your scented products again, do that whole deal. But be safe if you guys travel out of town, out of state for Thanksgiving. You know, eat a bunch of turkey, get hefty. It's always good. And there you go. Just be safe. Hopefully we'll hear from you guys next week. And if you have any questions, comments, concerns about the show, feel free to send me an email, redfishchuck@hotmail.com. And let's get out of here with my sponsor list real fast. Let me pull that thing up. Don't forget, too, this holiday season, please do your best to shop at a local store. You know, don't go online and buy all your Christmas stuff from online. Yeah, you may save a couple dollars, but I promise you that the Learjet, that the guy who owns that online retailer, will get fueled throughout the year without your help, without your assistance. Just remember also, too, if you should ever have a problem with that or an issue with the products that you do buy online, you tend to have to go to somebody local anyhow to try and get that problem fixed. So there you go. You know, buy close to home. Richard down at Harry Goods, great shop down in Melbourne. Stop on by there, check them out, show that guy some love. With Bass Pro Shops opening up there in Palm Bay, you know, he's going to need the support of the local community more now than ever. So, and then of course our little shop, you know, I appreciate everybody's love to, you know, they've been showing me a lot of love there at KBBA Outfitters. It's been a lot of fun. And, there you go. So that's it. Let's get out of here. I'd like to thank Hobie Kayaks, Orca Coolers, Tackle Webs, Railblazer Yak Gear, Ego Nets, ENO, Bending Branches, Slayer Inc. Lure Company, Kayaks by Bow, KBB Outfitters, and of course, Real Adrenaline Energy Drinks, and my latest sponsor, Adventurous Custom Fishing Rods. There you go. There you have it. That's it. Everybody have a safe week. Have a safe Black Friday. We'll talk to you Monday. Hopefully, actually, why don't we go ahead and discuss what kind of deals you picked up on Black Friday next Monday, and then we'll have a fishing report or two to throw out there as well. That might not be a bad idea. But with that being said, God bless everybody. I hope you guys have a safe week, safe travels if you're going out of town, and we'll see you back here next Monday. See ya.
Thank you.